Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Zone Time. I'm Julian McKenzie. Tic-Tac Tomar is here. Sam Chang of the broadcast is here. Avery Lewis McDougall is here. I got to mention something. You know, we've been doing this show for quite some time. We're getting so much more comfortable with each other to the point that, like, we'll have topics for the show and sometimes we'll just come up with random stuff throughout the show. And it's great. It's awesome when we do that. And, you know, we still try to follow this rubric and rundown of stuff. I have to admit, just to kind of take everyone behind the curtain, I sent the rundown for the show sometime this morning or in the afternoon, depending on when you get in the Eastern time. And I made the mistake of sending out the rundown for the show just as Canucks president Jim Rutherford was speaking to the media. It's blown up at least a third, maybe a half of the show. So we're not even going to get to all the little fun little stuff. I was going to go on a whole rant about how I predicted that John Tortorella was fed up of iPads. We don't have time for that today.
Fun. That was funny.
That was great.
Can we give that like a hot 2 minutes?
That's a minute.
Hilarious. Like,
amazing.
Verbatim called it. I howled. Verbatim called it. The man took the iPads off the freaking thing off the bench. Oh, that's hilarious. Hilarious.
But yeah. But we can't spend too long on that, man, because we have to go through all these tweets from Jim Rutherford, man. I mean, the Vancouver Canucks, at first we thought we were just going to get insight on Tanner Pearson and what his future might be because of all these different wrist surgeries he might have to go through. But now we're thinking about how the roster might have to go through, quote, major surgery.
It's not a rebuild.
It's a retool.
It's a very important distinction to make, Tic-Tac Tomar. You can't be out here just throwing out the word rebuild.
Can I say something? So
go ahead.
Okay. I know I'm the one that usually brings up a lot of like pop culture stuff. So I'll hit the audience with another one. I am a big proponent of like early 2000s teenage soap operas, you know, like One Tree Hill and The OC and like Gossip Girl and stuff, because those shows do this thing. When I call it the avalanche of drama, one thing happens and then the next scene, something else happens. And then something happens immediately and you're like, oh, my, like you think that's the big revelation. And then something else comes up. It's like, no, it's worse. And then you get left with this huge cliffhanger and you have to wait for the next episode. I felt like that going through those tweets, because every single thing this man said shocked me. like thoroughly shocked. And we've been talking about the Canucks. Like, it feels like every episode we spend like at least 10 to 12 minutes talking about the Canucks.
Yep.
And that press conference shocked me.
That's a whole episode in its own.
Like,
end up talking the whole, seriously, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I gotta tell you, I appreciate what you're saying about like the cliffhanger and the buildup and all that, but I had a totally different experience. I thought I was watching reruns of the OC. Because I was like, hey, I've heard the word retool before. Jim Benning specifically said they were going to retool on the fly, I think in 2015. I have heard all of this before. They want players who are under 26 and they're going to get younger. Jim Benning said that in 2016. Like, these are all tweets that are available. You can look them up. All of these things have been said before. So yo, I was just watching a rerun.
Jim Rutherford's a biter. He's a biter, bro. At least for in the context of the Vancouver Canucks, we thought he was. You know how like we're hearing a lot of songs nowadays that are sampling like stuff from like the 2000s.
Yeah,
like Mariah Carey's "Fantasy" all of a sudden is like a hot new thing to sample. Like, that's what it is now.
They just They make no sense. And I'm saying that as a, I am saying that as an honest to goodness Leafs fan. They make no sense. Why are we trading Bora Horvat for players that can play now? In a draft that's literally talked about as being the best draft since 2015, and you want players that can play now? Why? We're going to have to buy out players in the offseason. What? We have to trade core players. How the hell is that not a rebuild? And also, who are you moving besides Hughes? I'm not taking Miller. Mr. Oh, I'm paying attention to my defense, so I'm not scoring goals. Like,
that's a pretty wild quote.
They make no freaking...
Can I just, because I realize we kind of did jump into this topic. Let me at least kind of throw out some tweets that were put out there, because I didn't get a chance to watch the presser myself. I was doing some other stuff, but there are a great job on the part of the Vancouver media, notably colleagues like Harmon Dayal, Thomas Drantz, Brendan Batchelor on this as well. I'm sure Ian McIntyre tweeted about this too. But just for some bullet points here, the Canucks say they can't divulge the specifics of how Tanner Pearson's injury became a season ender for confidentiality and privacy reasons, beyond noting that there were apparently two setbacks and no clarity about whether he'll be able to play at all next year. Jim Rutherford also said that he's disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was a big
year.
Yeah, they have no idea. Yeah, that's also been sort of reported before today. But yeah, there doesn't seem to be any clarity about whether or not Tanner Pearson will be able to play next year. Like, that is, I mean, that's technically why there was a press conference in the first place. It wasn't so much, I mean, it's around the midpoint. It's not out of the ordinary for front office people to have press conferences. But the premise of the press conference was for clarity to be explained on the Tanner Pearson thing. And Jim Rutherford mentions he's disappointed in the job he's done to this point. He says verbatim, "We're stuck with contracts we can't move."
We're stuck.
We're stuck with contracts. This is the exact quote I have here. "We're stuck with contracts we can't move."
When did Rutherford get hired? I'm sorry.
It's been a year, isn't it?
Only? Okay.
Maybe not exactly a year, but a year and a few months.
Okay.
By the way, I'm sure you all want a Bruce Boudreau update, because that man has been slandered through the mud since day one of this regular season. Jim Rutherford, all I can say, and I'm reading this off of Harmon's tweet, all I can say is Bruce is our coach right now. Rutherford says he's had contact with other potential coaching candidates going back as far as a couple months ago. Imagine you going through a divorce and, like, you know, you're actively hearing your partner who's trying to divorce from you, like, is starting to go on dates with other people, like, before the divorce is even finalized.
Man, Bruce should quit. Like, I'm not even kidding. Quit. Leave. Why? We already know who's replacing him. It's not a secret. Oh, yeah, Bruce is our guy, but we also know who we're replacing him and who's going to assist. I saw Sergei Gonchar is barely being added to the bench. Like,
Sergei Gonchar?
Yes. Fire him now. Fire him now, please. Like,
put him out of his misery.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If the Canucks right now were a DMX video, it'll be Jim saying that Bruce is whack, he's twisted, and you can end the rest right there. Like,
whoa! I saw the way you're going with the lyrics. I'm like, wait a minute. How much can you actually say?
That's why you stopped. That's whack. And twisted. I knew not
whack and twisted.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is right now. That's how I feel. The way you're talking about his head coach, and also too, just put a laugh track on every presser from now on. Some laughing audio in the background every presser from here on going forward, please, because it's comedy. It is comedy right now, and I see it as someone who covers the Edmonton Oilers about whack comedy about weird teams like.
Do you think we could get editing done? Like, say if I read this tweet out here, we're not looking toward a rebuild. I'd rather call it a retool. And then we just put some kind of canned laughter in the background, like right after. I don't know if we could do that. Does that have that intended effect? Like, maybe. And then obviously the last thing I'll point out too, Rutherford says the Canucks will look at buyouts this summer if they can't move certain contracts out. Hopefully I am not missing any major details.
There was one quote and I was going to quote tweet it, but I didn't know if it was taken out, like if it was taken like heavily out of context. Yes. This is from Thomas Drantz. "I thought we were tanking. We're pretty close to the bottom." What does that mean?
Did you get the second follow-up sentence? It was, but I would never, running a team, go and tell the coach or players not to play hard.
No, duh! No, duh! No, oh my God! Freaking revolutionary stuff. You can't do that. That's called freaking tampering. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jim Rutherford. You know what's funny, too? Like, I can't say anything about Jim Benning's legacy before this.
This is the easiest year for any team that is not good. Easiest year ever. We're not going to be good? Cool. We'll trade you and trade you and trade you. You're injured. Peace. Here's your contract. Here's your contract. Gone. Bruce, stay for the year. Have fun. I'm not going to rip you every opportunity I get. This is the easiest year ever. You have a generational player who was born in your city. I don't understand. It's so frustrating. I'm not even a Canucks fan. The man is from Vancouver. And you're trying to win. Why? Why? You're trading Horvat for players? Why? I have never seen such negative take awareness in my entire life. This is like absolute zero take awareness. And you know what? I will hysterically laugh if the Canucks end up with Bedard. But my goodness, man. I have never seen a team misunderstand an assignment so much. The Canucks were asked to solve for pie, and they made one. They said, here's a strawberry pie. Here's some whipped cream on top.
No.
I don't understand. I don't understand the freaking organization.
That might be one of those brilliant lines I've ever heard.
That's one of the best things Omar has ever said.
That is one of the greatest things I've ever heard. They were asked to solve for pie, and they made one. That is brilliant.
I got to tell you, a few of my favorites today was...
yes, please,
go ahead. Rutherford said, quote, "The cap is going to keep going up and up. The cap is going to be $90 or $95 million. That contract isn't going to affect what the Canucks do down the road." And then in the same press conference, he says, "All the core players aren't going to end up being here. We haven't had the opportunity to take those steps because we're stuck with contracts we can't move. Until we do or until they expire, it's going to be hard to make those changes."
Listen, okay?
He said this thing in the same press conference.
Hashtag so free Quinn Hughes. We need to get him out of there. Free Quinn Hughes.
And just I got to do the Boudreau thing because it's
go ahead.
It's whack. Like, everyone, I have had so many Canucks fans be like, well, you know, Boudreau is making millions of dollars. It comes with the territory. All NHL coaches get fired. There are only 32 positions. It's privilege. Like, it comes with the territory. It does not come with the territory to the degree that the Canucks have done it. Okay. Like, I agree. Media speculation about coaching happens. But the way that he has been treated this season, between Rutherford publicly questioning him constantly, and now the leaks about the Canucks wanting to hire Rick Tocchet in a few weeks and Bruce being a sitting duck, it's not just a Canucks media thing anymore. This is now, you know, Russian Machine Never Breaks wrote an entire article on how the Canucks are doing Bruce dirty. Frank Saravalli is tweeting about it. It is now a national story how the Canucks are treating Bruce Boudreau. That's not the regular level of media speculation. Like, that says something about your organization, that national media and media that covers other teams are writing about how poorly you are treating Bruce Boudreau. And I don't care if he makes millions of dollars. Like, just because you're paying someone doesn't mean you should treat them like that. It's bizarre.
I agree. It doesn't make sense. Look, it doesn't make sense to me. I can't think of any other head coach, at least in the National Hockey League, that has gone through this the way Bruce has. I get that coaches all the time, their jobs could be under siege. That happens. And people discuss about the opportunity of a coaching change. But, like, the fact that, like, Rick Tocchet is, like, an open secret as a potential replacement. Like, what? And also, Rick Tocchet, which we could discuss if we want to, about whether or not he should be the guy for that job. Like, really? I mean, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't even do that, because apparently he's really good with his players. He's really good at relating with them. It's just that he has not had the success.
Just like Boudreau was. Was Boudreaux not advertised as a player's coach?
Did they not release
a lot of videos of him like talking to Pettersson, you know, trying to make him feel better and stuff?
Sam, what's the difference? You know better, but why do I feel as if Travis Green has a similar description to him too? But maybe I'm wrong. But maybe it's just because he was. Well, you're smiling. That tells me he also had that too.
Comment.
Dude, the Vancouver Canucks, what the hell's going on? Oh, man. Shout out Adam Vingan, by the way, my former colleague at The Athletic. He put up a really funny meme, and I love The Simpsons. I don't know if you guys ever watched that episode where Milhouse's dad gets fired at the cracker, like, job that he has at some cracker mill or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, he tells his boss, like, so that's it. So long. Good luck. And his boss is like, I don't recall saying good luck. That's pretty much Bruce Boudreaux.
That'll be Jim and Bruce, like, a month.
Yeah, that's literally it. And, like, and I don't know if people are looking and listening to us and are thinking, wow, these people are really going in on the Vancouver Canucks. They're not taking this seriously. Why should we? Honestly, it's a joke.
Honestly, I have seen, like, obviously, like, there are moments where, like, coaches will make, like, passive-aggressive comments about, like, you know, well, this is the team that I have. This is the only thing I can do. Like, it's, like, a kind of passive-aggressive shot at, like, at management. And sometimes, I can't remember ever a time where, like, not even the GM. I keep forgetting he's not even the GM. He's the president.
We didn't even hear from Patrick Galvin today.
Like, the president of the freaking team. It's just saying, oh, yeah, I'm talking to people. What?
Right? Like,
well, what? Oh, my God, man. Just fire the man. Fire him. Have the assistant be the interim for a little bit. And then hire Rick Talk. We all know you're doing it anyway. At least give the freaking man some dignity. Holy crap.
Is Bruce Boudreaux going to coach anywhere else again?
I wouldn't. I'm like, screw this, I'm done. Like, oh my God.
Like, what if like Bruce Boudreaux like ends up on like a Sportsnet panel for the playoffs and he just makes cracks about the Canucks all postseason?
I'd hear it. I don't want that to happen.
I'd subscribe to that.
That'd be really funny. That'd be really funny. Avery, did you have another thought I was coming?
I was gonna mention, yeah, too. Then it came out too that the Canucks management was aware on negative comments from the media. Good, you should be aware of that the media is being negative. Like, what is there to be positive about? What are the good things right now about this team? You want people to go on Sportsnet, on TSN and all different shows and be positive about your team right now? Why should they? What? You deserve nothing right now beyond ridicule and bashing. That's what you deserve right now.
I don't understand why they're
What is there to be positive about? I don't understand. Like,
I have something. I have something very positive. I think I know what he's gonna say. Maybe I'm losing my mind. They're seventh last in a year with Connor Bedard. That's awesome. That's wicked. Why are you trying to be good?
It would be better to be bottom three.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, he said I thought we were tanking. If you were tanking, you wouldn't have signed JT Miller.
You know, come on. This team, watch a Canucks go and do something like, watch him go and win like 9 straight games.
Sad, they will.
I said this on another podcast. Bruce Boudreaux might be the only coach I could think of who could win like 7 of 8 or 8 of 9 and still lose his job.
Yep. It's a shame, man. They've done this man so dirty.
Also, a future episode idea that the more I think about it, I think we could actually do this. I think we can do an entire episode, a top 10 Canucks storylines from this year. I think we could legit do it, where we just count down all the crap from 10 to 1 of what the Vancouver Canucks have endured. I think that is a legit episode we could do.
Yeah, you just go to that thread I have of all their best quotes.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then react to each one, honestly. Because, like, this has been a freaking circus of a year for the Canucks, man. And
you guys, I didn't think it could get worse after Jim Benning, but they've managed to do it.
Not saying something.
That is saying something. Jim Benning was a source of great material for us on this show. And I never thought Jim Rutherford. Remember, Jim, I can't speak for the legacy of not legacy, but I can't speak for Jim Benning's resume pre-Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Jim Rutherford is a Stanley Cup champion. I mean, yes, he did in Pittsburgh, he did in Carolina, and is, by all accounts, a respected executive. And now he's in Vancouver and he's going through this. Mm-hmm. Like, holy crap.
Can I mention one other quote?
Please.
And this quote may be like open mouth cackle.
Bro, we're frying. We are frying the Vancouver Canucks like Avery does a well-done steak. Like, this is crazy.
So this is another quote from Rutherford. Ownership hasn't interfered with any of the decisions that I've made.
Cap.
Come on,
I'm calling
man.
Cap. I'm
That's
calling
a
cap.
Straight.
That's cap.
That is.
That's cap.
That's some straight cap. Fecal matter. That's straight. That's cap. Straight lie. That's a straight.
I've never had to call cap for anything in the NHL related until today. That's a straight lie.
Because like again, they have fired coaches, they fired the GM that everyone hated,
mm-hmm.
and things are worse. What else can be the problem?
I don't know what to tell you, brother. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh my god!
Can I ask you guys a question?
Oh yeah.
Yes, of course.
As non-Canucks fans.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Do you think Rick Tocchet will make this team better?
No.
I don't think I'm happy to be wrong.
Actually,
I just don't see it.
No,
I don't see it.
Let's answer that question.
This
with
roster,
another, with
if you mean this roster, it, okay. Actually, would define better. What? Like, when you mean better? What do you, like? Because I don't know if the goal is to tank, is Rick Tocchet the guy you want?
No.
Do you want to bring Rick Tocchet to coach this team?
No, because Rick Tocchet will give them the, hey, we have a new coach, let's win some games thing. Because he'll be like,
yeah.
Hey, we can do it. We're all in this together. Why is he musical too? And you don't want that. You don't want that. You want
to lose. Does Rick Tocchet elevate this team to Stanley Cup contender? Playoff contender?
Whoa.
I'm not saying he does. I'm asking the question.
No, like, I think they'll feel good, and I think they'll finish like 10th in the division.
I don't know. I have no idea if that's like, if you really think about it, I don't know if he makes them better, but also I'm still not completely clear on what it is. Like, if you're talking to Rick Tocchet, if you're talking to that coach, like, I don't know. I feel like to TikTok Tomar's point, like, let an interim off on your own bench, like, finish the job, tank the rest of the year. And take whatever draft pick you get. And if you want to try again next year, maybe you hire Rick Tocchet and have him go through that. But like, am I wild for thinking like maybe now's not the best time to bring him in if that's what you're gonna do?
No, not at all. Because let's play pop quiz, okay? Because this is not Rick Tocchet's first NHL gig as a coach.
No,
this would be his second.
Not.
He's just coming off coaching the Arizona.
Would it be
Coyotes.
His third? Because he coached Tampa.
Yeah, he coached Tampa, and then coached Tampa. That had four seasons with the Arizona Coyotes,
and missed the playoffs each time.
Yeah, but the ownership was bad. The team was in disarray. That's what everyone says.
Does that OEL also hate him?
Sorry,
who?
Pretty sure OEL also. Does not get along with him.
Oh, right. Oh. What? What a twist.
I haven't landed on if that's good or bad yet. No, it's okay, because they probably think that they can trade OEL before things get worse. Now, my question is, who wants to take him for another 4 years at $7.26 million per?
Hold on a second. You guys keep talking. There's a story. I just Googled Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Rick Tocchet, and there's a random story that just popped up that I kind of need to like look over for myself and just see that's true. Because I see the headline. There's an Arizona sports radio station that has a headline, and I don't know. I need to read this and understand the context. This is the headline. Coyotes Tocchet tells story of hitting Oliver Ekman-Larsson in practice.
What?
You understand why I need to read this article now, right? Because I don't want to just go off that headline.
I'm pretty sure it was like a body check.
Okay. So it might not even be a big thing. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's not that bad. But yeah. Like, even then, we see how we're all like, what the hell's going on?
But like, you know what would have been cool? okay, fire Bruce, whatever. But like, and this is something that Avery's been mentioning, like, I feel like almost every episode. Stop with the freaking cycle. Do some research and hire someone new. That would have been cool. That would have been okay. I don't know, like, get, I don't know, get someone young who like has some like interesting perspectives on like offense or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that can work. But no, let's get the same a person who has been here before, who hasn't even touched the area that you want to get to. You want to get to the playoffs and you're hiring Rick Tkett? Why?
I mean, to counterpoint to that, he was assistant coach for the Penguins when they won a Stanley Cup, and I believe also had Jim Rutherford as an exec. So that explains the tie.
They SND cross me! I hate when like they
you know what?
I mean they did. Yeah, they did.
You know, he probably wouldn't come over mid-season, but you talk about connections. Patrick Laviolette knows Rickard Gronberg. Like, bring over Rickard Gronberg.
That's a guy people have been asking for years.
That is honestly someone who he should have had an NHL head coaching job long ago. And I'll say it again. The NHL has been around.
Avery, what if you just become the Canucks GM?
Me? Wouldn't that be something?
That's a better idea. That's a better idea that I've heard from the Canucks in a long time.
Hey, we can't just keep throwing Avery at these jobs. When we
so
know,
what is it now? Like, I've been thrown towards Oilers head coach, Oilers GM, Oilers president, and now Canucks GM.
No.
I'm sure he got mentioned for the Leafs at some point.
No. Avery needs to save Edmonton. No, leave him. No, I'm sorry. No.
Avery needs to save McDavid. Yeah. Can I read that quote from that random Coyotes Tocket hitting OEL story? So yeah, it was for like a body like positioning like hitting drill, and Tocket apparently went on 32 Thoughts with Elliot and Jeff and said, I did it to OEL real quick. I did it last year. I was talking about boxing out, and I go when a guy does reverse thing, and I actually hit him, and he went down hard. He was mad. I love OEL, and he'll tell you he was mad at me because he wasn't really ready for it. And I did hit him, and he went down hard. Yeah, that can backfire sometimes. So, okay, all's well that ends well. It was just an innocent drill, and there's no bad blood lingering from it. I don't want anyone to take this podcast and assume that we created some fake beef between OEL and Rick Tocchet. I just want that clarified.
However, I'm going to be watching those games.
Oh, hell yeah.
As soon as Rick Tocchet gets hired, I'm watching those games. Like, I'm going to go out of my way to try to watch more of those games. Like, I started, there was the one game where it was where the Leafs took on the Canucks, and I was on with Sam on Game Over. So I watched that game, and I was horrified.
We should do it again.
Yeah, we should.
I'm doing the Leafs game in March.
And then since then, I've tried to catch up with like Canucks games and just like this, like stare at the screen in like horror of like
you
how
stay
bad
up late in Toronto to watch the Canucks play.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane.
Yeah, sometimes this is like, you know what? Because it's
bed,
like
Omar.
I want to understand. You know what I mean? Like when there are teams that are bad but refuse to admit that they're bad, I just want to understand. Like maybe they're seeing something that we're not. So I watch and I'm like, I don't see it. I don't know what they see that tells them, hey, we can do this. Hey, we can push for a playoff spot. I don't know what evidence that they have in front of them that gives them that idea, because all I see is a team. There's the perfect fits the characterization, the criteria for a Bedard tank, and they refuse to do it. And I don't know why. I don't understand why. Like, and I know the whole thing is like, oh, well, we need to get playoff revenue and stuff. Imagine all the revenue from Bedard jerseys and Bedard posters and Bedard commercials and Bedard signings and Bedard documentaries. You get a freaking camera crew at his house. Hey, he went to this mall. Hey, he grew up watching this Canucks player and that Canucks player. No. Let's not do that. Let's try to make the playoffs so we can get clapped in the first round. Clapped in the first round. Why? And yes, I'm saying that as a Leafs fan. Yes, I'm saying that as a Leafs fan. Clapped. I don't understand. I don't. I'm just confused. I think that's why I'm coming off so frustrated. I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't get like what the plan is. I don't get what they're like. I would love to sit in that meeting room and just listen on what they're trying to do.
Like, is it honestly just like, okay, yeah, let's make the playoffs? Like, no, man. That's the same crap that Montreal did for so long. Just make the playoffs, make the playoffs. We can't openly admit to a tank. We'll make the playoffs. It was stupid. And now they turn things around. Granted, not good this year, but the future is there. The fans see the path. Caulfield is sick. Suzuki is sick. They got Slavkovsky last year. They could have two top 10 picks this year. Florida. I swear to God. I swear to God. If freaking Montreal gets Bedard because of Florida pick, I'm going to lose my mind.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
Could you imagine? Picture this. Picture this, Coach Shank.
Yes.
It's the draft in Nashville. Zone time from Nashville, Tennessee. We're all down there. And Greg Bettman goes on stage and says, the Canadians are selecting Cole Caulfield.
Connor Bedard. If they're selecting Cole Caulfield again, like, that's crazy.
You would hear a high-pitched no, like, randomly, and it would be me. Like, high-octave no. Because I don't want Bedard in the East, man. I don't. I mean, that's another reason why I'm so bad, too. So I just
want a camera at Omar in Bridgestone Arena to see his reaction when Bedard puts on the Habs jersey on stage in Nashville.
No. And then watch the first game of the 2023-2024 season will be against the Leafs, and Bedard will light us up. I guess 2 goals, 1 assist.
5-point night.
I don't want Bedard. And this is another reason why I'm so mad at the Canucks. I don't want Bedard in the freaking East. I want him in the West. And that was there an option. And they're ruining it.
Gonna be Anaheim. We can just all be tormented by Zegras, Terry, and Bedard forever.
Selfishly, better you than me. I don't want that, man. I'm sorry. Bedard, the Bedard went on a streak of like 5-point
games. If you ever got out of the first round, you'd still have to play them in the cup finals.
Oh.
Now, I've said before. Yo!
You got to go and dig those holes. Okay. All right. We've done enough. The Vancouver Canucks have suffered enough on this podcast. You did mention Cole Caulfield. Some people are wondering what his next contract could look like after Matt Boldy of the Minnesota Wild did a 7x7. And I'll tell you what, Matt Boldy's stats a little lower than Cole Caulfield's, especially right now. So if Matt Boldy's going to make that much over the next few years, is Cole Caulfield going to make like $9 million? Like, what are they going to do? They can't bridge him.
Good question.
If they bridge him, if the Canadians bridge Cole Caulfield, that might be a huge problem.
If I'm Cole Caulfield, I ask for a bridge. Like,
I mean, I get why you would. I understand why you totally would. Yeah. If you're the Canadians, you lock up that asset as long as you can.
Yeah. Or maybe you hit him with the Subban. You say, okay, I want this and this amount of money on a long-term deal. No. Okay. Give me a 1-2 year bridge. He scores a whole bunch. Cause like you pay for goals in this league, right? Like the top played players in this game are scoring the most goals, and Caulfield's going to be a freaking destroyer. He already is. Like the fact, like the pace he scores at is crazy. So like, yeah, if Boldy's making, you know, having a seven million cap hit on a long term deal, you'd have to think that a long term deal for Caulfield will start with an 8, like as starting, and yeah, you could probably ask for 9 or whatever. So would the Canadians want to do that? I don't know.
8 million. Like, if you get Caulfield at like 8 million, that's a steal.
But how much does Jack Hughes make? Like, I think he makes like 8-1. Hold on, let me pull it up here.
Yeah, like
no, that's, Jack Hughes makes a flat 8.
That's a steal. Yeah,
that's a steal.
That's a steal. That's a guy who could easily be one of the faces of the National Hockey League in the next few years.
Yep. And I think Stutzla in Ottawa, I think he makes like 8-1-2, 8-1-2-5, something like that. So like maybe if you're Ken Hughes, that's what you're kind of looking for. Maybe it's like that type of like ballpark. To try to get him on a long-term deal that looks like a steal later on. But again, if I'm Cole Caulfield, I'm like, hey, like I can score goals in this league. I can score goals on anyone. Maybe you take a 2-year bridge and then you say like, no, you're giving me more than that. I don't know about double digits, but
here's the thing. when Cole Caulfield played 67 games last season for the Montreal Canadiens, he got 23 goals, 20 assists, 43 points. Again, in 44 games this year.
He should still sue Dom Ducharme on record. Sue him.
In 44 games this year, he has 26 goals and 36 points. There are people in Montreal who are starting to bring up the number 50 because it has been since the 80s. That was the last time a Montreal Canadiens player has ever scored 50 goals. Stéphane Richer is that guy. If I'm Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens, and I see that Matt Boldy news, I'm going to Cole Caulfield's representation right now. I'm not waiting for March. I'm not waiting for April. I'm not waiting for the offseason. I'm not waiting for him to get, even if he gets the 35-40 and you still haven't signed him yet, it's too late.
But to that point, if I'm Cole Caulfield and his representation and Kent says, hey, do you want to? No.
We'll talk. You got to find a way to get him to sign that deal. You got to make it worth his while. Be like, hey, look, dude, Canadiens player for the next like 8 years at this money. Like if you like, I get that. Like he might do like the Dave Chappelle at the club meme where he's pushing that person out the way. You got to find a way to make a deal that works.
Oh boy.
Okay.
As right now. Yeah.
It's not looking too good. Did anyone else want to drop anything about Cole Caulfield before I bring up Connor McDavid and his crusty ass socks?
Wow.
I said what I said. They're crusty. Just because you're good at your sport doesn't mean
you. I said what I said.
You didn't lie.
My man out here being the best player in the world, but you wearing crusty socks.
I mean, listen, man. You put up the numbers you're putting up, you can freaking wear any layers of crust on those socks.
You do what you want, you popping. I've heard that before. Okay, so in all honesty, I did not want to bring up solely just his socks. He did have an interview with Tim McAuliffe from Tim and Friends, friend of the show, Tim McAuliffe, by the way, about, you know, just a bunch of different topics, and the shootout came up. And just to take a quote verbatim from Mr. McDavid, no one likes the shootout. It's a crappy way to end the game. Do y'all agree with Connor McDavid and how he feels about the shootout? Whoa!
Ooh.
I thought we'd get a universal yes on this.
Go on, Avery.
I want to hear Avery about this. Avery, speak on it. Why do you disagree with Connor McDavid on this?
Okay, I'll start off. First of all, shootouts over ties. I hated when games would end in a tie. These shootouts do give you a definitive winner when it comes to hockey games. Although I hate shootouts though in NHL, I hate them in to determine a medal game. Shootouts should not determine who wins gold or championship. It shouldn't be the case. Keep shootouts only to regular season games. I'm fine with that. But also too, if we go past shootouts, you gotta find a way to end the game some way somehow. And I do like the idea of one skater on one goaltender. That one-on-one format, I do love that still to an extent. I still enjoy that. And some of the best goals all time in NHL have come via shootouts. Pavel Datsyuk's goal, Merrick Malik shootout winner in New York. Those came in shootouts. The best goal we had in hockey, period, have come in shootouts. I'm not as anti-shootout as other people have been. I mean, it could be worse. We could go back to, you know, an overtime, 3-3, a tie. Who wants that?
I don't want that at all. I don't want ties. Can you repeat those names again? You said Merrick Malik, and who else did you mention?
Pavel Datsyuk.
Here's something else we have to think about. Those two names, like those goals that they scored in the shootout, those were a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. Was a lot, like, not to say we don't still see sick goals in the shootout, but I think there's something to the fact that the novelty and the coolness of the shootout is a little passe. Like, not to say we still don't get cool stuff in the shootout, but I think we can all agree some of the most iconic moments of the shootout were really within that first few years of it being brought in. Mm. And then like that random like 10, 15 round shootout the Panthers were in a couple of years back. Like, I think there is
Trevor
something.
Zegras last year.
Trevor Zegras is very nasty at the shootout. He very much is. Yeah. But he's also very good at a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you one thing. If there's one thing I love more than the shootout, it's 3-on-3 overtime, which I'm sorry to say, I love OT. The cynical part of me knows that teams are going to ruin it. They're going to ruin it.
They already have.
Sheldon found a way to hold on to the puck for like four minutes and 30 seconds.
I love Sheldon Keefe, man. He ruined 3-on-3. We start the Toronto Maple Leafs start 3-on-3 with David Kampf, Rasmus Sandin, and Timothy Liljegren. And we hold the puck until we can get a full change, and then we start. Like, yeah, we've gotten to the point where like 3-on-3 is getting like a little overcoached. But like, I don't know, I think. But like, there as much as you try to overcoach like overtime, there ends up being those moments where it's just like things break down and it's just freaking breakaways left and right. And then maybe that's the best part. Yeah, maybe those can there. You know, that's where you can have those moments of like those individual like one-on-one moments with goalies. But like, I don't know. I think the big criticism I always heard is that like, well, you don't want the game lasting forever. I don't think it will, man. I think even if you extend it like another 5 minutes, like 10-minute overtime, I think that's a big thing a lot of people have been talking about. I think it ends. I don't know. But you know, granted, maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
You know, I said before on Twitter, I would say to end the show, overtime faster, go 10 minutes, but 5 minutes 3-on-3, 5 minutes of 2-on-2. That'll guarantee the game ends.
No, I want 2-on-2. No,
yes.
I disagree.
Could you imagine
No way. They give like two men on the ice for a whole. Could you imagine?
2-on-2, you start McDavid and Draisaitl against Rantanen and Makar. How much fun would that be for overtime?
You make a fair argument.
Is Kale okay? I saw. Is he okay? Is he skating still?
He played today.
Sick. Yeah, he played. He had two. I don't know if he got a hat trick. He had two goals last I checked.
Attaboy.
Sorry. Today, as in Monday, this episode will probably be out Tuesday. Last I checked, the Avalanche were putting a whooping on the Detroit Red Wings.
He had a three-point game.
Yep, he's okay.
Speaking of that.
He's okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. Are we still on the topic of shootouts?
I think we've exhausted, unless anyone else has any contrary points to
I was just going to say, I'm not for or against either 3-on-3 or shootouts.
Yeah.
I think we actually nailed the actual problem, which is that teams managed to suck the fun out of both of these things. Like, if you actually stuck to the spirit of shootouts, which was score sick goals, be creative, take some risks, and 3-on-3, which was fast, loose hockey, then I'm good with either of these things. But to the extent that players and coaches are kind of half-assing it or overcoaching it or just kind of doing anything other than having fun with it, then I'm against both of those things. Like,
you know what would encourage offense in overtime more? Putting in a shot clock. Putting in a shot clock in overtime.
That I'm in favor for.
Yo, that
I'm
would
in favor
be
of
cool.
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that where you get have to rid get of something
it.
Going.
That yeah. would exactly. be cool. That would be cool. Yeah.
You have 30. Yeah. You have 30 seconds. Don't shoot out. Don't shoot within 30. Turnover.
Yeah.
Yo, that'd be sick.
That or I forget who suggested this idea to me. Similar to what we have in the NBA, like backcourt violation. You're not allowed. Like once you enter the offensive
you
zone,
can't
like,
backtrack.
You
can't, yeah,
can't backtrack out.
Because that happens like a lot. That happens a lot.
It happens so much.
Yeah.
That's an easy way for teams to maintain possession. Once you enter that offensive zone, like you're not allowed to backtrack out. And try to reinsert yourself back in.
Yo,
like you have
fun.
To stay in there.
I like that idea. That's cool.
Maybe those are kind of half-baked ideas, but like we have to save 3-on-3 overtime.
Yeah.
Omar, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, because Colorado got mentioned. I think we need to highlight the supreme tank awareness that took place over the weekend. Who did Seattle beat? Was it? It was like 6-0. So Seattle, like it was 6-0 in the first period against Chicago.
Supreme
tank awareness. And I think Colorado beat Ottawa like 7-0 or something.
They did.
Vancouver. Those are teams that are doing it right. Supreme tank awareness. So I want to give a shout out to Ottawa, Ottawa and Chicago there. They're doing it right. Good
story. All right. Whew. Okay, I think we've exhausted as much as we can out of this episode, which another banger, friends. We did a great job, especially with the Vancouver Canucks and just everything that's going on there. I'm dead serious, though. We are going to do a top 10 Vancouver stories, like, because at this point we could do it. Like, JT Miller will be on this like 3-4 times.
No kidding. Also, I want to say one more thing for any Canucks fan that listen to this: don't come for me. I know my team. Please, I know it. You don't have to tell me what I already know. I was quote tweeting some stuff, and people were like, "Oh, funny for you to say." I know. I know. I get it. I understand. We haven't won a cup in 50 plus years. We can't win a round. We lose to Zamboni drivers. It was 3-1. I get it. I get it. That doesn't change the fact that your team is nuts. So please don't come for me. Deal with your own team first.
I just want to add one last point. You talk about the top 10 list, Julian. That implies there'll be more stuff coming in February, in March, in April, in May, and in June. I'm sorry.
Have you seen anything from the Vancouver Canucks that suggests that they're going to slow down?
Yeah.
Be serious. Have you seen anything that suggests that they are going to slow down?
Nope.
No. No.
Do you want to know the best thing, though?
Yes.
Is that despite how bad they've been, they have made it to the second round in the last 10 years.
Boston and they give up the game winner in the final minute. I'm watching this game like, what year is it? I'm like, what year is it?
Wait, I have a question. If the Vancouver Canucks lose to an emergency goalie slash Zamboni driver this year, like, what do we do then? What do we do?
I'm not saying anything.
I mean, they'll never be the Leafs because they did it first, but what do we do?
That's why
I don't think it's not as bad because, like, they're not good.
Yeah, they're not good.
It's much more reasonable for the Canucks to lose to an e-bug than the Leafs. Like, the Leafs are a better team on paper.
I love how this episode, the Canucks are the main target, and the Leafs still catch it straight.
Yo, but it's true, though.
It's true.
That I just need just freaking win around, and then, like, all of it, like, it's going to be like a Thanos snap.
Okay, I have a question. I don't mean to belabor the length of this episode. We will get to an ending and I will send salutations and all that. Is winning a round enough for you?
Yes.
In terms of like expectations, in terms of how the team is built, in terms of how the regular season has gone for the last how many years, I'm adding all these extra things.
Yep.
If the Leafs win round one and like they get beat by Boston in round two, is that enough?
Okay, so here's my fear. Okay, on the surface, it's enough for me. I've said it for the last 2 years. I just want to see someone say the second round has started and the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing hockey. If I see that, I'm good. Is the bar low? 100%. But my bar was high the last couple of years, and Montreal ruined it, and then Tampa ruined it, Columbus has ruined it, Boston's ruined it multiple times. And this year it's probably going to be you face Tampa, you win that series, you have to face Boston, whatever.
You think you beat Tampa in a 7-game series?
No. I said if they beat Tampa, then we would face Boston. I'm not throwing any guarantees yet because you know things are weird. But it's just like I guess as an organization, you want the expectation to be a little higher. But for me, I just want them to be in a second round just for the main fact that all those chirps just disappear.
Like it's done.
Win a round, gone. Game seven, gone. It was 3-1, gone. 4-1 with 10 minutes left, gone.
Boston. Are they really gone though?
Yes.
What if like Austin leaves?
Why are you putting that into the universe? Why?
Well, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's edition of Zone Time, everybody. I'm Julian. Thank you, Omar. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Avery. Subscribe to the podcast however you listen to podcasts. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Peace.
You're a monster.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.